Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It is a delight to be able to have with us another representative from one of the most important organizations by my lights in Washington, D.C., Judicial Watch. We spoke yesterday with the president of the organization, Tom Fitton, and today we're able to visit with one of his senior investigators, Bill Marshall by name. He is a contributor to American Thinker. He has extensive experience in government and out in investigations and the kind of deep research that has informed much of the work that Judicial Watch does and has been just simply incalculably important for the rest of us, particularly in the absence of much in the way of congressional oversight, which is so desperately needed in area after area. One of the pieces that Bill Marshall wrote up the other day, which caught my eye, involves a particularly egregious problem needing government oversight, namely the use of American taxpayer dollars to support the work of George Soros and his Open Societies Foundation and related initiatives. Bill Marshall, thank you so much for digging into this and for joining us to talk a little bit about it. Welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be back, Frank. Thanks very much.
So what on earth would the U.S. government be doing? I mean, George Soros has more money than God the last time I checked. Why should taxpayer money be involved at all? But even more so, in the Trump administration, what on earth is going on having government funding going to a guy like this with an agenda that is so insidious and inimical to our national interests?
Well, that's a great question, and that's something that Judicial Watch has been digging into for the past year now. I've been looking at Soros' operations, for example, in Macedonia, Romania, Colombia, Guatemala. We're also looking, one of my colleagues is looking at Guatemala.
Albania is another one, I hear.
Albania, yes. Albania is the one that we just got records from. And as you said, what's really concerning is that USAID has been funding NGOs, these non-governmental organizations that are set up by George Soros and his organization, the Open Society Foundation, all over the world. And I'm talking scores and scores of these things. And they almost invariably promote these radical sort of leftist agenda issues.
Oh, wait. I'm shocked. Shocked.
I know. There's gambling going on here. The pro-legalization of marijuana, the pro-LGBT, pro-socialist groups. He basically tries to stir up particularly the young, the pliable minds. And in many cases, and I think we've talked about this before, he tries to unite the radical young leftists in many of these countries with the indigenous Muslim populations in some of them. And like we saw that in Macedonia.
The red-green axis, we call it.
Yes, exactly. And usually to subvert conservative governments, pro-American governments, that is to overthrow them in lieu of socialist governments that Soros is fond of. Now, for example, in Albania, we have the Socialist Party, which is run by a guy named the Prime Minister. They're named Edi Rama. The Socialist Party is just the refurbished Communist Party of Albania that collapsed when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1990. The Communists sort of rebranded themselves as the Socialist Party.
There's a lot of that going on, Bill Marshall, as you may know, not just in Eastern Europe.
Well, that's for sure. South America.
Well, I'd say in the United States as well, in a lot of cases.
Right. Well, I could get into, we could get into a whole other discussion about Soros' operations in the United States, but it's truly frightening what's concerning his activities that are taking place really all over the world as well as the United States. You raised a good point. What is the purpose for George Soros, who has untold billions of dollars, to be seeking, $1 million here or, a couple hundred thousand dollars there from USAID for these little organizations that he has set up or his group has set up in all these countries? And a terrific journalist named Leah Fowler, who is a former FBI agent who actually worked on Colombian and Mexican drug trafficking issues, wrote a great piece in the Daily Signal about a year ago, and she had a terrific insight when we were discussing this the other day. She actually writes about it in her column for the Daily Signal, And the what she says is not the money so much that Soros is looking for. It's the conferral of legitimacy on these radical leftist organizations by getting money from the U.S. government. It confers a kind of respectability on what would otherwise be considered kind of crazy left-wing groups. And I completely agree with that, you know, because I was baffled by that, too. Why would this man who's got so much money be hitting up USAID for, you know, these relatively small, I mean, I'll say small, but, you know, hundreds of thousands or, you know, million-dollar grants or whatever to these various groups? Sure, it's great to have somebody else foot the bill, but there's more to it than that. And that is that as Leah phrases it, he's sort of laundering the image of these groups through the U.S. aid that's being provided.
And this is so insidious, and it's so much of a piece with the modus operandi of Soros and his minions to seek this kind of legitimacy and to use it to subvert American national interests. I mean, the irony of the U.S. government facilitating that against its own interests is quite remarkable. Let me ask you, since we're on the topic, to just say a word about Soros's operations in the United States. How much of this sort of thing are we seeing here as well?
Well, we know that he gave something like $500,000 to Black Lives Matter. I mean, this is, you know, sort of classic, George Soros operation where you're stirring up trouble. You know, they are opposed to the police, as we know. You know, they essentially riot to protest, you know, the so-called killing of unarmed black men. I mean, never mind that unarmed people can inflict, you know, great injury on police officers and other civilians just as armed people can. But you know, that's sort of a classic, you know, example of what he's doing here in the U.S. Most of our work relating to Soros has focused on the international aspects of what he's doing, because it's in those cases that we're seeing money flowing, U.S. taxpayer dollars flowing to support his organizations, which are actively promoting anti-American agendas and attitudes, if you will, in foreign countries.
One other example of mischief being made that I know you're working on at the moment, and I'd just like to give you a minute or so to talk about it, if you could, Bill Marshall of Judicial Watch, and that is what you've discovered about Obama administration policies with respect to our educational system that may have contributed directly to the disastrous attack at Parkland High School not so long ago in Florida.
Right. You know, there's so many researchers doing great work, sort of deep dive analyses of the policies that led to that disaster. And I've been digging into it a bit myself and trying to obtain records, particularly from Broward County, Florida, which was sort of the vanguard of this push by the Obama administration to reduce the so-called school-to-prison pipeline. Right. This was sort of a theory that's based on really truly a racialist view of America. That is that 70% or more of students that are arrested in American public schools are minorities, you know, blacks and Latinos primarily. The view of the Obama administration was not that the bulk of these people were being arrested for their underlying behavior, the behavior that led to you know, their discipline and their arrest. It was because they are being targeted by racist white teachers, right? So they created this, what they call the PROMISE program. This is preventing recidivism through opportunities, mentoring, intervention, support, and education. I'm surprised I got that out. But it was this classic sort of liberal program which assumes that the arrests aren't occurring based on the face of the facts. They're a result of a, you know, sort of a racialist or a racist view, just like in the Black Lives Matter mindset. You know, blacks were being supposedly targeted by police officers, not because they were threatening the police officers or threatening other people, but because the police are racist, implicitly or explicitly racist. The education era policies in the Obama administration were sort of an extension of the same mindset, the racialist mindset.
The fundamental transformation of America through attacks on every one of our institutions, in this case, the law enforcement as well as the educational one. We have to leave it at that for the moment. Bill Marshall, we are over time. Thank you so much for your joining us today, and again, for the work that you, Tom Fitton, and so many of your colleagues do at Judicial Watch. I pray that you will keep it up, and I know that you'll come back to us again soon. I hope the rest of you will do the same tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.